Thomas David is Davings, and David is a fitting sequel of the coronation of the Theocratic Psalm, and it precedes, and what it precedes, and the Holy Spirit must have treasured this little Davidic gem for hundreds of years before they placed it in their scrolls. They placed it in their Bible. And boy, I tell you what, it's a blade alongside other crown jewels of the kingdom. And without little doubt, it's the David Psalm. And it seems to be written along with Psalm 15, Psalm 24, to celebrate the bringing of the Ark to Jerusalem. It records David's resolution and his pledges to Jehovah as the kind of king that he would be if only God would come and take up his abode at the capital. It was a big deal for David. And of course, you remember the story how things didn't go so well the first time they tried to bring it up. The psalm is fitting composition for all who rule. Those are in judgment seats. And those who sit in justice and that are charged with the responsibility of enforcing the law. And the reason I gave you that tonight was it is said of Ernest the Pious. How'd you like the name Ernest the Pious? Isn't that great, huh? Ernest the Pious, Duke of Saxe-Gotha, sent a unfaithful minister a copy of this psalm. And it became a proverb in the land that when a minister of state, and I'm not talking about a preacher, but I'm talking about a minister like a governor or whatever, of state was guilty of misconduct, he would usually get the prince's psalm to read. And the prince, Ernest the Pious, when one of his ministers was not doing right, was not taking care of the poor and what the Bible teaches, he sent him that, Psalm 101. And if you read it, you'll see why he said, all right, let's read it together. I will sing of the mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Now remember now, David is promising God this. What's he want? He wants the what? What's he want? He wants God to come and get that Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It's a Basileo place. And God is blessing him greatly. He said, I want that in capital. I want it close to me. All right? So now he is promising God. He is making a pledge and a resolution to God. And this is what he's saying. He said, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee. O Lord, will I sing? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Boy, I sat at my desk today and I thought, as I was going over this again, I thought, boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful prayer for us fathers?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for us fathers to say, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart.
Amen.
Boy, that'd stop a lot of crazy stuff. Amen. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. David said, Lord God, I promise you this, if you only come, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Can you think about that for a moment? I hate the work of them that turn aside. I shall not cleave, it shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. He that hath a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer, will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. So he's the king. He's making sure that people that are working for him are right too, amen? That's good, isn't it? I wish our president would do that. You're fired. What do you mean you lied? You're fired. Do you see that crazy thing today? They brought that woman to the IRS before him, and she said, I have not done anything. And then she says, I plead the Fifth Amendment. Well, everybody ever plead the Fifth Amendment, usually they're what?
Guilty.
They're guilty. Boy, if I was a president, I would do her packing for her. That's what David said. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I thought that was quite interesting when I was hearing that. And I just went over this one more time. Did you know at the sheriff's office, this thing that we carry, if you lie, the sheriff says, give me your badge and give me your weapon. You're done. I've seen him do it. I thought we're Christians. I thought we're supposed to live above the law, you know? Live higher than what the law already says. Verse 8, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. That's our problem. We just let them go. We're to take care of good, not nice. I'm not a nice person when it comes to evil. I'm a good person when it comes to evil. I wasn't nice with my children when they did evil. I was good. And listen to this, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. And David just saying, hey, I just want you to know that's where I'm at. I like kings like that. I like men who stand up and say, that's got to go. I like daddies coming to the house and says, no, you're not going to wear that. No, you're not going to go there. No, you're not going to. But you know what? So many kids, they say, dad just say no all the time, but that's not right. That's a few little incidents in your life. But the devil pricks your heart and gets in there, that old Beelzebub, that Belial, and he goes in there and just lies, you know, says, my daddy don't let me do nothing. Hello? No, you can't play with a rattlesnake either. Or a loaded gun. Or go out where there's a vicious dog. What's wrong with that? Dad, I want to go out and play. You can't. Why? Well, we've seen some rattlesnakes out there. Oh, Dad! Your dad's good. He may not be nice, but he's good. And when you grow up, you say, boy, I'm glad my dad was good. Well, hey, man, I got a whole bunch to preach to you. Sit down. I've been gone for a long time. Father, bless this time. Help us, Lord, to look into the Word of God, and may you set our hearts straight with you in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm is a fitting composition for all who rule, all who sit at the seat of justice and charged with responsibility to enforcing the law. In the fullest expression of this psalm, it is millennial. You know, we've been talking about quite a bit about the millennial reign. We are right now in what we call the church age, age of grace. We just came out of the age of the law. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. It would have nothing to do with them. And then that brought in a new dispensation, which is called the age of grace, or the church age. And we will be in that church age until Jesus Christ comes back. And the tribulation period will start that. Antichrist will be known. The Christians who have trusted Christ as personal Savior and passed on, they will be resurrected from the grave, and we who are still alive will be caught up at that trump and will ever be with the Lord. Thank God we don't have to go through this stuff anymore. Aren't you happy about that? Anyway, that's going to be a good day. Anyway, if you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you've not put your trust in Him, you don't believe in Him, you got a rude awakening, because Jesus Christ is coming back. And He's coming back soon.
Amen.
The Bible said, all of us are sinners. Because we sin, we owe a terrible price. That price is death and hell.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ loved us so much, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. And so if you've come to the fact in your life, you realize you're a sinner and that you have nothing to do, you, there's no way you can get out of hell. And you know you owe, the wages of sin is upon you. Jesus Christ says, I've got a gift. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How simple is that? See, some of us get a little older and we get kind of rock-headed or whatever, and we think we know it all. A little child says, hey, this is what I'm going to do for you, and you just accept it. And Jesus Christ says, this is what I'll do for you, and a young child accepted. But some of those old guys, we said, well, 2 and 2 4, 4 4 is 8, 8 8, 16, 16, 16, 32, and on, and on. I got to see it to believe it. Jesus says, that's faith. I call upon the name of the Lord and He will save us. And some are unwilling to believe the Bible. Some are unwilling to take this as God's Word, which amazes me. They don't have enough brains to put gas in a motorcycle and start it. And they're telling you that they don't believe it? You don't believe it because I'll smart you. You believe it because Jesus Christ said it. And it's so. And that's where salvation comes from, by faith. In His grace, faith. Not of works, as any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Not too much to take a gift. Last night, a little boy came up to me with a Crunch candy bar, one of them chocolate Crunch candy bars. He had them. I mean, I took it. I ate it.
Amen.
By faith. Gained 2 more pounds. Amen. I didn't say, are you sure you want to give it to me? I never tell that to a kid, man. He'd take that thing back with me. Amen. But it's free. Hallelujah, it's free. You say, I don't deserve it. You got that right. But He loved you so much. So, the kind of condition they envision during the millennial time, after the tribulation, there's 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation, terrible things are going to happen here, the Antichrist is going to come. Jesus, at the end of the 7 years, He's going to come back, and we're coming with Him, and He's going to restore the kingdom, and the world is going to get back like the Garden of Eden. No more weeds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And everything's going to be perfect. But we'll rule with a rod of iron. And if a man is 100 years old and he outward displays defiance toward God, off goes his head. Because we'll have the mind of Christ and we'll be able to look right into your brain and say, you're lying. Wouldn't that be great raising your kids? Wouldn't that be great having a mind of Christ? Have God's mind and your kid says, I didn't do that. And you know they did it. You say, you did it. And this is how I know you did it. Boy, that'd be great. I tell you what, that would just take care of everything in the world, amen, if us parents had the brain of God. But anyway, we don't. And we have to figure them, and then we got to be like Philadelphia lawyers to figure out whether the kid's lying at you or not. Or she's lying at you. She said, oh, honey, mama, daddy, we broke the car down and we ran out of gas and that's why I'm late. Many of them, in Christ, you just jack slapping tomorrow, amen, and say, don't lie to me again.
Amen.
Yeah, you and them boys, hallelujah. Yeah. Some of them boys are a little smarter than dads are, I'll tell you that much. David himself could only espouse then the sense of the divine responsibility as a divine representative of the theocratic throne of Israel. And that's going to happen 1,000 years. Satan, at the end of 7 years, Satan is going to cast in the pit. They're going to put a chain over the top of that. And he's not going to get out for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Won't that be something? Now remember, we can't be lost. Once Jesus saves us, we're saved always. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life.
Amen.
No question. That's what the Bible says. And we'll be with the Lord. Ever be with the Lord. We'll never lose it after that. Don't lose it now. So if people think about it, drive yourself insane trying to figure it out. You can't figure out salvation. No more you can figure out going to that that light switch and turn it on and wonder where in the world that current comes and how it's going, how many cycles is running, and all the other things goes with it. But you just go there and turn the thing on. I don't understand how that microphone works. How can you wind up a whole bunch of piece of wires and have a magnet in there and it talks to you? Tell me that. You turn that thing around, do you know that you can turn that thing around and you can, it'll be a speaker? How in the world did I do it? I don't know, but I sure enjoy it, amen. And Jesus, the language of the psalm is severe, for when Jesus does reign, it will be with a rod of iron. And if divine mercy found the millennial kingdom, divine morality will fashion it, amen. And the psalm is a royal resolve. This indicates by 9 uses of the word will. I will. And will. And 6, he talks about the word shall. I will really is the key of this little psalm. And David's heart and mind for God are backed by his will. He is determined to be the kind of person and the prince God wants him to be. And I was thinking about that today, and you probably see that song. And it says, I want to live the way he wants me to live. There have been times when giving and loving brought pain. And I promised that I'd never let it happen again. But I found out that loving is well worth the risk, and that even in losing, you win. He showed us that only through dying we live. And he gave when it seemed there was nothing to give. He loved when loving brought heartache and loss. He forgave from an old rugged cross. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. I'm going to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, never out love the Lord. David said, God, I'm so hungry for you. I just want you to be with me. I don't want you to be down in Basileel's threshing floor. I want you up here. And so that's what he says. The king and his character. I want you to look at that first of all. King and his character. All of us have to all have character. I know some of you are, but anyway, everybody will have character. Sometime before, David was tempted to bring the ark to Jerusalem, but listen now. He had gone about this good work the wrong way. That's like churches today. They have honky-tonk churches, and they have yelling and screaming churches, and they have this rock and roll. And if you just knew the word rock and roll, you wouldn't want to say it's rock and roll Christian, would you? I'm back in the 50s, girls and boys. I know what rock and roll is. It's a bad term. Terrible term. And there's a lot of people trying to do good, going about the wrong way. And David did that. He put that Ark of the Covenant on the cart. It was a brand new cart. And that was no way to carry the Ark of the Presence. Listen to me. The Ark of the Presence. Levitical law made it very clear how that sacred and symbolic piece of furniture was to be handled and moved. And we recall in the days of Moses, the princes of Israel presented Moses with 6 covered wagons and a dozen oxen. And Moses accepted the gift to do the service of the tabernacle. You can look that up in Numbers chapter 7, verse 5. But then had to decide how to divide the wagons between the 3 Levitical families responsible for transportation of the tabernacle during Israel's wilderness march. One would have thought that Moses would have gave each one of them, 3 of the families, 2 wagons and 4 oxen. Instead, he gave the family Gershon 2 wagons and 4 oxen, and the family of Merari remaining 4 wagons and 8 oxen. The family of Kohath He didn't give them any. Explanation for this seemingly is lopsided division in transportation equipment is given because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them which were to bear that ark on the shoulders. The most sacred object of the tabernacle, including the ark, were to be personally carried by the Kohites. And the sacred ark was not to be bumped or dragged along on a cart or boxen, but was to be carried by hand on the shoulders. And especially privileged family. You know, there's a lot of things in the Christian life that are very sacred to God. And some people just, there's nothing sacred anymore in our churches and our way we treat people. You know, God always puts that in there, you know. Hey, here's something very special. Here's the Ark of the Covenant. It's not supposed to be banged around, though it could take it. He said, I want it to be perfect. I don't know about you, but you get a new something new. You don't want it scratched and pushed around and dropped over and tipped over. You want to take very good care of it. Man, the other day, my little Emma, she wanted to play with my iPad. I usually don't let kids touch my iPad because I just don't let them touch them because they have a habit of dropping things. I saw one kid pick that dad's iPad up and gone. So I'm real careful about it because I preach out of it all the time. But she wanted to have it. And she wanted to have it. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, yeah, right around my little finger. And she said, Papa, can I do this? I said, okay. Boy, you get really soft when you get old, amen. And she picked that thing up and started going with it. I'm going like, you want to treat things good. I when I get a piece of equipment or something, I'll treat it real good. I'll keep it clean and keep it all oiled up, keep good tires on it and whatever. Man, I'm real special. I'm real picky about that kind of stuff. You may not be, but I am. Man, I grew up when you got one thing and that was it. My father-in-law, I'm telling you, he'd have a car every other year. I never see anything like it. That's when he could do that. Yeah, brand new car every other year. Not me, man. If that old Pontiac would still been running, I'd still have that one. I had a 53 Chevy. Boy, that was something else, man. I had baloney tires on that thing. I was jacking that thing up every day, putting a patch on it. That's when you could do it. It had inner tubes in. Those are, you guys wouldn't know what I have with that inner tubes. But God is not God is not impressed by your machinery. There are certain things that need done by hand. David should have known better. And since David had his own written copy of the law. Every king had their own copy of the written law, and they were to meditate on day and night. He ought to know better. And it's not surprising, therefore, that David's first attempt brought the ark up to Jerusalem that ended up in disaster. The ark was bumped and jolted along until, at one point, the peril of falling off the cart, and one man named Uzzah put his hand up to stop it, and God killed him. That just reminds you, Uzzah should have never done that, amen? And boy, dropped him dead. And what did David do? He got mad! Why? He got mad at God. Why? Because God killed the man. David, go back to read your Bible. I said, I want the Kohites to carry that. You don't put it on a wagon. You know, there's a lot of people. They're out of church tonight because they got mad at God, and they're the ones, the stupid idiots, that did something that caused them to God, trying to get their attention, and they just throw their nose up to God and said, I don't want to listen to you. You want to be very careful about that. You want to be very careful about when something happens in your home or to your family or something, you better be careful. You better not charge God foolishly. On Sunday night, I preached a sermon called It Ain't Fair. I preached it to Mount Sinai Baptist Church in Pickett, South Carolina. And I preach it ain't fair. There's a lot of things that seem not to be fair. You Knows it. Wonder, will that happen? How come I got this? How come I had to do that? Why did they do that to me? Blah, 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 blah. That's not fair how they treated my son. That's not fair how they treated my daughter in school. That's not fair how they treated her. And on and on. Do you think God is surprised at what happens to us in our life? Do you believe that God allows those things to happen? Hello, anybody home? Do you believe God allows those things to happen? Read Job.
Amen.
Good night. Satan comes by and says, hey, God said, what you been doing? He's arguing up and down, just checking things out. And God said, have you considered Job? Satan goes, shoot. You got a hedge around about him. Man, he's the richest man. He got everything. Everything going his way. I'll tell you what, you take that away and he'll curse you. And what did God say? Go ahead. I dare you. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. I really have a little hard time with that. And I can't wait to get to heaven to ask the Lord about that. I don't think it'll be any big deal to me when I get there because I have the mind of Christ and I already know about it. But I just like knowing sometimes why those things happen. Why did I... New Year's Eve party. You remember the story? I worked all afternoon making this beautiful tray of meats and all kinds of stuff. I walk outside and I tip the thing over and it's all over the floor. I caught half of it. And things are not so easy at home to do things like that. I had no way of going to buy some more meat. And I want it so bad to bring it to you. I knew that Silas was going to be there and he loves those great big black olives. When he was a little boy, he ought to stick them on all. He had 10 of them. He'd eat them like this. And I had some black olives just thinking of him. And it's the certain meats and things certain people in our church like. And you know what the first thing I did? God, what'd you let me do that for? And in my back of my mind, God said, well, you idiot, if you'd only come out with one thing and open up that back door, you wouldn't have done it. It's your fault, not my fault. But Satan always wants me to point my finger at God and charge him foolishly. Yes, he does. You got a big fish on and it breaks. God, why'd you do that? You drop your cell phone in the toilet. It's God's fault. You know, things just happen. I just bought a brand new cell phone over in the Philippines. And I came out of the car and one of our girls that were over there for a little bit bumped my arm. It dropped right in the sewer. So what'd you do? I looked at it. Picked it up quick. Went and got some hand sanitizer in it. I loaded that thing. Quite a while before I brought it here, I talked quite a bit like this. Did a lot of speakerphone talking. I could just hear it. But anyway, it's God's fault. No, it's not. You back into somebody? God, why'd you do it? Make it up. Well, stupid, if you quit talking on your phone and look where you're going. Driving down the road. All of a sudden you see in your mirror red and blue lights coming at you. And you go, you look down the speed limit and go, oh, speed limit. Oh my goodness. God, why'd you let him be there? I used to tell the Lord, how come sometimes cars don't start? Why do cop cars always start? Huh? You ever think of that? You're gone. Yeah! Thank you, God! We're crazy. We are completely out of our brain.
Amen.
Well, Leviticus said that there's one family can move it. It was the most sacred object of the tabernacle. And they were personally responsible to carry that. And the sacred ark was not to be bumped. And it was bumped. And God said, that's enough. Doing the right thing a wrong way brings down God's displeasure. Remember that now. Hey, listen, when you get saved, what's the first thing the Bible tells you you're supposed to do? Huh?
Get baptized.
That's right. That's what it says. They that gladly received the word were baptized. When? Same day. About 3,000 souls. Same day. Thought they had a lot of teaching? I don't think so. Did they have all these classes? I don't think so. I go to the mission field and people get saved. And I said, man, baptize. Well, we got to teach them. Better teach them what? Well, we got to teach them all the things and disciple them. I says, that's not what your Bible says. You're teaching them a lie. They that gladly received the word were baptized. What did the Ethiopians do? Say, hey, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? No. And Philip says, do you believe? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says, man, he stopped the church and went down, baptized, and both of them came out. And they went on happy. Who's happy? Both of them, amen. Do what the Bible says.
Amen.
Do what the Bible says. He said, but no, doing the right thing the wrong way. Billy Graham has done a lot of work. But Billy Graham did a good thing a bad way. He had a Roman Catholic priest up on his pulpit one time down in Los Angeles, and that became all of a sudden just dropped him out of fundamentalism and caused all kinds of trouble with a lot of churches. Some of you may have remembered that. But he did a good thing the wrong way. God says this is what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
How shall the Ark of Jerusalem, the Ark of Jehovah, come unto me? The whole project was set aside. And David returned to Jerusalem, leaving the house of Obed-Edom. Left it Obed-Edom. He was ready to try again now. Thus, Psalm 101. He said, I delight. I love that. I delight. I've seen guys getting married. They're standing there waiting, and all of a sudden, here she comes around the corner, and they just delight up. Amen. She walks down the aisle. Delight up. Amen. Hopefully, the mother-in-law lights up. If not, you're in big trouble. He delights. He said, I will sing the mercies. That's loving kindness and judgment. He says, he made a decision. He said, I'm going to behave myself in a perfect way. Hey, we ought to behave ourselves in a perfect way. There's certain things in my life I should not do.
Amen.
Things in my life I should do. Made a decision. Made a resolve. Three things to get a man. Silver, sex, and sloth. Three things will take you down. The three S's. They'll shipwreck you. Silver. Get so much money, you don't need anybody. You don't need God. Rich man can trust God. Poor man has to. Amen. That's why God just said, hey, I can't trust you. Sex. Ruin you. The Bible says a woman loses her virginity, but a man loses his honor. I've seen great men do great things. And now they're in jail. Stupidity. They lost their honor. Church is shipwrecked. The statement comes from D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of past years, who said, a Christian is the world's Bible. And some of them need some revising. Did you get it? Their behavior contradicts their belief. Their conduct does not match their conversation. They do not live the way God wanted them and intended them to live. I am a Christian! As long as it suits my fancy, as long as that bus is going my way, I'm a Christian. Well, Gus, I'm getting off the bus if it doesn't go where God wants me to go. Amen. Many years ago, an inquisitive young student from Harvard asked his professor, "What does it mean, really, to be a Christian?" And this teacher glanced out the window to ponder the question. He saw Philip Brooks, walking by. Immediately, he said to the student, "Well, as a matter of fact, it's hard to define a Christian, but there goes one." And he pointed at Philip Brooks. "There are men who live the way God wants them to live, and it goes without saying that the best argument for a Christianity is a good Christian." Don't you love being around good Christians? Man, I enjoyed so much being around Brother Rudy. Oh my goodness, he loves the Lord. Man, he's going through some tough times. I wish you'd pray for him. Really tough times with his wife. But I'm going to tell you something. He's got God all over him. I just like being around him. I like to be around those people, those kind of people. I don't have to worry what they may say and the joke they may say or something that may make me feel very... I got my hair cut today. I get it cut every 2 weeks. And I was sitting in the barber chair, and my barber was telling me jokes, and I was telling him a joke. I told him about the Lulu, wake up, Grandpa. And he's the one putting this, and he said, "Wake him up yourself, you put him to sleep." And he laughed. He thought that was funny. And then he said something, and boy, I thought, I don't trust him. You ever own guys like that? I don't trust him.
Amen.
But I've fussed with him so much. He said a pretty funny joke. It was pretty funny. But he brought a girl into the thing, and I thought, oh boy, here we go. Because I said, I'm gonna get up from that chair, and I'm going to turn, and I said, "You're talking to the man of God, and I don't want to hear that." I am not always nice, but I am good. I am good. And I'm going to live good. Nice is just not saying anything. Good is saying, "Sir, if you want to keep cutting my hair and getting my $5 tip every time I go in and get a haircut, you best be minding your mouth." You say, that's unkind. I really don't care what it is. I'm trying to guard these ears of mine, because once that goes in there, I don't forget it. Why is it I can always remember the dirty jokes and never remember the funny jokes and the clean jokes? Explain that to me. Why is it? How many have the same problem? Would you raise your hand? I'm not condemning you. I'm just, that's the way it is. Can you go one more minute? You okay? If you got to leave, you can leave. We got a business meeting. No, I'll quit right there. All I'll do is dwelling. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. A king can have everything. You can see it. You've heard the things that have happened to our presidents, and the things that they have lived, and the things that they have not been very moral about. Even when I was a teenager, I remember the saying about John F. Kennedy and all the immoral exploits that he had with Marilyn Monroe and all the... I was just kidding. I was just a kid. You know what that did? That weakened my thought of the presidency of the United States of America. If a man could not have enough dignity for 8 years to keep his pants on, I have a real problem with it. You say, "Pastor, you're so frank." Give me a break. The whims of the indulgence for a king in the East could have everything. Look at the life of Solomon. And David said, "I will walk in my house with a perfect heart." And then he crashed and burned. But thank God for Psalm 51, he got back. He never was the king that he was in the first place. And boys, don't lose it. Don't miss at this. You drop off And you'll never get to the point where God intended you to be. Listen to me now. There are creatures out there today, and that's why Proverbs is written for it, and you to be careful of the women. There are creatures out there, I'm telling you what, they'll do anything they can to destroy you. Just one more notch in their belt. You be careful. You watch out. He said, "Oh, Pastor. Don't all pastor me. My heart is broken with the things I've heard." David invites the Lord to come and inspect his house, and he promised that he would be a model home, one into which the Lord comes, can come anytime. Is your house like that? Lord, you're welcome anytime. Little girl was met the preacher at the house. Pastor knocked on the door and said, "Hi, honey, how are you?" She said, "Fine." And she said, "Pastor's here, Mama. Dad, Pastor's here." And he heard the father say, "Come on in." We don't go in the house unless Daddy's there. You understand that, right? And he came in, and Mama said, "Honey, get out our favorite book." And she did. It was a TV guide. I was waiting for you so I could preach to you. The word perfect here means without blemish. As a high priest would examine the animal brought to the altar, David assured the Lord, he said, "Lord, you can inspect me anytime." David would see that his heart was as unblemished as a sacred lamb. What a resolve. What a home would be if we would make our daily resolve, "I will walk within my house with the unblemished heart." This is the character of a king. And he begins with himself. God help us. Aren't you just sick of what's going on in this world? Just sick. Blech. I'm sick of it.
Amen.
Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be very careful that we would be more like you. And Lord, may we live. May our desire and our dwelling be one who you could come in any time. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here.